Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So glad to see all of you here this morning. If we haven't met, my name's Ryan. I'm the student and 1825 director here at Life Point Marion. And I always just want to say with that, if you're a student grade 6 to 12, young adult age 18 to 25, and you're not already attending one of our groups, come see me so we can get you plugged in, have you come be a part of the family. If you're a guest here today, you'll see a couple QR codes on the seat backs in front of you. I would encourage you to scan the one on the left. That is our guest information card. And when you fill that out, that's just a way for us to connect with you. And at the end of the survey, you'll see some of our partner ministries. And you can select one. And whichever one you select, we'll end up donating $5 in your honor at no expense to you to that particular ministry. So we're picking back up in our series, Practicing, this week. And what we're really talking about in this series is practical, everyday Christianity, what that looks like, what practicing our life looks like. And we're looking at a bunch of different spiritual disciplines. We've had some really good messages already. We've talked about abiding in Christ. We've talked about generosity. We've talked about meditation. They were all really great sermons that you can find on our LifePoint Ohio app. Would definitely recommend going back and listening to those if you haven't heard them already, or even maybe listening to them again for a second or third time. You can totally do that. This week, we're going to be talking about prayer. And prayer, I just feel like, is such a big topic. I feel like we could probably do a big whole series just talking about prayer if we really wanted to. But today, we're going to be talking about practical prayer that we practice in our everyday lives as Christians. And so, as we work through prayer today, we're going to really talk through three main questions about prayer, and they're these. What is prayer, and why do we do it? We got to know what prayer is and why we're doing it. The second one is, how do we pray? That's also very important to know how to pray. And then lastly, how often should we pray? So that's really what we're going to work through. I just wanted to get that out there before we started. So let's go ahead and pray together and get things started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for how good you are, all the ways that you're working, all the things that you're doing, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon us now here in this place in our hearts, that you would have an encounter with us, that you would open our eyes, open our ears to you and what you're wanting to say. I pray it wouldn't be my words, but your words, Lord. We love you so much, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to start out, what is prayer and why do we do it? Seems pretty straightforward, right? Like we just prayed. Seems a little silly to say, what is prayer? I think, though, there's a lot of misconceptions about what prayer is exactly. When we think about prayer, some of us might think of, like, you know, a set list of words to say, like a guided prayer. Some of us might think praying is bowing our heads, folding our hands. Might think a lot of different things about what prayer is, but prayer really, at its core, is just talking to God. That's all prayer really is. It's just talking to and communicating with God. That's what prayer really is. So why do we do it? Why do we pray? C.S. Lewis has this quote on why he prayed, and I just thought it was really good and seemed fitting. It says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. Super good. We pray because we have needs. We pray because we're petitioning things to God that are on our hearts that we see as needs. And so a lot of the times when we're praying, this is what we're going to be doing. Prayer isn't exclusive to just addressing our needs before God, but a lot of times when we pray, this is probably what we're going to be doing. We're going to be bringing a situation before God that we're having some kind of need with, or, you know, we need his intervention with. And at the end of that quote, C.S. Lewis said something that was really good. He said, it doesn't change God, it changes me. And I just want to kind of spend a minute focusing on that. I mean, it's interesting. So God doesn't change when we pray to him because God is immutable. What that means is he cannot change. He is the same now as he was before creation, as he always will be. He can't change. And that's really important to his character, because if he can change, then can we really trust him? Is he really faithful? If he's good, but he can change, then why should we put our faith in him? Because he might change. He might not be good anymore. We might not be able to trust him. But because he's immutable, because he can't change, we can trust and rely on him fully without reservation. And that's really important. So when we pray to him, when we bring things before him in prayer, we're not moving God and changing him. What we're really doing is we're changing ourselves. We're coming into a place of recognition of the fact that God is our provider. He's our protector. He's the one who can meet our needs. He's the one who, when we're helpless, he's our helper. We're becoming more aware through prayer of who God is and what his roles are in our lives. Prayer changes us. It doesn't change God. So what is prayer and why do we do it? Prayer is communicating with God to bring things before him and bring ourselves into alignment with him. That's just the definition that we're going to be using for today. You know, there's a lot of different factors in what prayer is, and I could probably have a lot more to say, but for the sake of today's message, for the sake of practicing everyday prayer, when I talk about prayer, this is what I want us to be thinking about, what it is and why we do it. So how do we pray? It seems really simple, right? We just talk to God. Should be easy, right? But how many of us, either ourselves or have heard somebody else say, I don't know how to pray? Just raise your hand real quick if you've ever heard anybody ever say, I don't know how to pray. Yeah, a lot of hands up. It's a common thing. And it's kind of crazy because we have this God who is the creator of everything. You know, he was there before creation. He'll be there forever. It's just like he's so big and high and mighty and high up. And to think that we can just talk to him, it seems kind of crazy and a little bit overwhelming, doesn't it? To think that we can just talk to that God who created everything. And I think a lot of times that's why we feel like, man, like I don't know how to pray, because it's like, what would I even say? How would I even say it? I think when we say we don't know how to pray, that's typically what we mean is I don't know what to say to God, and I don't know how to say it to him. So as we work through how to pray, we're really going to talk first about the content of our prayers, what to pray about, and then secondly, we're going to kind of talk about how we should pray and what way we should pray. So we're going to be picking up now in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, so I'll give you a minute there to turn in your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles with you, the verses will be on the screen to follow along with. And in this text, Jesus is teaching us how to pray, which is just super fitting, right? What better teacher can we have than Jesus himself on how to pray? So Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" So Jesus is off praying, and one of his disciples comes up to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" Which something's just like really encouraging about that to me, to think that the disciples that lived with Jesus, that walked with Jesus 2,000 years ago, that had the closest personal and relational proximity to Jesus, still needed taught how to pray. I think it's easy to sit here 2,000 years later and look back on them and be like, man, they were so close. They should have had everything figured out, right? They should have just known how to do all this stuff. But even then, 2,000 years ago, they were asking Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And it's just, I don't know, it's just so good. And it's kind of humbling. So Jesus, he then says, here's what you should pray when you pray. He starts out saying, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." So hallowed essentially means holy and set apart. So what he's saying is in our prayers, we should recognize the holiness of God, how high up he is, how set apart he is. His holiness is hugely important to his character. And when we come into a place of recognition of his holiness, of that part of his character, what it does is it changes us. It changes the posture in which we pray. It changes the way that we think about him. It really kind of forms and shapes our prayer and puts us in a different state mentally and spiritually when we're coming into recognition of who God is. So we start out saying, "Hallowed be your name." And then he then follows that up with, "Your kingdom come." And what he's saying, when he's saying, "Your kingdom come," he's saying, "God, let all of your heavenly ways and your kingdom come on this earth, in me, in my surroundings. Would your will and your ways take place in my life?" That's what he's really saying. So he's saying, in our prayers, we should ask God to have his way in our lives. When we're saying, "Your kingdom come," that's what we're really saying. So the first section of this prayer tells us that we should pray prayers that recognize God's holy character and his kingship authority. Our prayers should include these things. This would be good content for our prayers. The next thing Jesus says is, "Give us each day our daily bread." And this echoes back in Exodus when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt. They were out in the desert and being led out there and by Moses, and they were like, "Hey, where's our food going to come from? You know, we're in the middle of the desert. How are we going to eat? How are we going to survive?" And God ends up raining down bread every single day for the Israelites to feed them. And then they would collect it every single day. They couldn't collect more than a day's worth or else it would go bad. They could collect 2 days' worth so they didn't have to collect on the Sabbath, but pretty much every single day they were collecting enough for that day to get them by. God was providing for their physical needs day by day. So this verse, it really echoes that, but also there's kind of a deeper meaning to it as well. There's kind of levels to it that the disciples at the time, they probably wouldn't have made this connection, but we can now. In John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Also, at the Last Supper, when they're having communion, Jesus said, "This bread represents my body broken for you." So we see that the bread also is representative of Jesus and the spiritual satisfaction and need that he meets in us. So when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're saying, "God, would you provide for my daily physical needs? Would you meet the needs of this day? But also, would your presence come be with me today? Would you meet my spiritual needs today as well?" So we need to pray to God for his daily presence and provision over our own lives and others. That's the next point that I have for us in the content of our prayers. We need to pray for his daily presence and provision over our lives and for other people's lives. The last thing that Jesus says to round out this prayer is, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." That's like kind of a scary one, right? To say, "God, would you forgive me as I forgive other people? Would you forgive me in that same way?" That's a bold thing to pray, because it's like, man, we better be forgiving other people super good. We better be forgiving well. If we're holding any unforgiveness towards people, then should we expect God to hold unforgiveness towards us, if that's what we're saying? I think it's a wake-up call a little bit to say, man, how do we forgive people? So that's just a question I want us to stop and think about. Are there people in our lives that we're withholding forgiveness from? Are there people in our lives that we're not forgiving purposely? And if we're doing that, it's not good, and it's not God's will or desire for us. Because the deal is God forgave us freely. We were undeserving of forgiveness. We didn't earn it, but God forgave us. Why? Because he loves us. And so what that then means is that in turn, because we have received forgiveness freely that was unearned and undeserved, we should also give that same forgiveness to others because we've already received it from Jesus. That's how we ought to forgive. That's God's desire for us. He also says at the end of this prayer, and lead us not into temptation, which is just kind of, it seems like a weird thing to say, doesn't it? To ask God not to lead us into temptation. It then kind of begs the question, well, does God lead us into temptation? Do we have to ask him not to do that? That's not what's happening here. God isn't the one who tempts us. It's our own sinful desires and our flesh that tempts us. But when we say, lead us not into temptation, what we're really doing is asking God, God, please don't let me fall into temptation. I have a desire to not sin, God. Would you keep me from sin? That's what we're really saying when we ask that in our prayers. When we're saying, lead me not into temptation, we're saying, God, would you keep me from sin because you hate it and I want to hate it too. That's what we're really saying. So the last portion of this prayer, we should pray prayers that align our desires with God's desires. That's what's really happening in this last section. God desires that we would forgive other people freely as we've been forgiven. God desires that we would stay away from sin. So this portion of the prayer, we're really kind of aligning our desires with God's desires for us. That's what we're doing. So that's really the content section of how do we pray. And that then leaves us with, in what way should we pray? How should we pray? And we're going to go and move over to Matthew chapter 6 now. And again, Jesus is teaching us how to pray because he's just so good. Matthew 6, verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So Jesus here, he's really getting to the intent behind people's heart of prayer. He's saying there's these people who are out praying in public, praying in the synagogue, praying on the street corners, not because they love people and want to pray for people, not because they want to communicate to God, but because they want to paint this image of themselves to the world that, hey, look at me, I'm holy, I'm religious, I have a relationship with God, I want your attention. That's what's really going on there. And Jesus says, this isn't good. It would be better if you went home and shut yourself in a room by yourself and prayed to God and had one-on-one time with God. Because in that one-on-one time with God, there's not going to be any outside influences tempting you to have any other intent other than just the fact that you want to spend time with God. One-on-one. He's not saying that we should have purely private relationships with Jesus. He's not saying that praying in public is inherently bad. Praying in public is good and necessary, and there is a time and place for that. But if we're praying in public just so other people see us, it's not good. So what's the intent of our heart? That's really what he's getting at there. And then he follows that up and says, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So essentially, back in this time and other cultures, maybe even now, I'm not sure, I'm not too familiar with a lot of other religions, but I know back in this time, pagans, they would have just prayed over and over and over and petitioned over and over and over for long periods of time, saying the same things over and over, in hopes that if they prayed hard enough and long enough and petitioned with their God, that their God would then move. And he's saying, don't pray like that. God's not going to hear you because of your many words. And, you know, it's funny because, like, if we were to pray that way, at that point, is our hope really even in God, or is it in the words that we're saying? Is it in our effort? God's saying, don't pray this way. Don't pray with many words. Charles Spurgeon had this quote that I thought was super fitting. It says, "Christian prayers are measured by weight, not by length. Many of the most prevailing prayers have been as short as they were strong." in the prayer, in a moment of prayer, we shouldn't be trying to impress God or anyone else. We should just be honest. We should be real and genuine, because that's what God wants. It's not like we're going to trick him. We're not going to pull one over on God. He already knows. He already knows what we're thinking. He already knows what the intent behind our heart is. So if we think we're going to trick God or somehow coerce him by using long phrases and words in our prayers, like, we're just wasting our own time. So how do we pray? What's the intent behind our prayers? I've got 2 points for us here. First off, we should pray genuine and honest prayers. We should be genuine and honest with God, no matter what, because we can be, and that's what God wants from us anyway. The second point is pray with pure intentions. I think we should always be reflecting on what our intentions are behind our actions, but especially in prayer, when we're talking with God, we should be thinking, why am I praying this really? What is the heart behind my prayer? So that's really the how of how we should pray, both what is the content of our prayers and what is the intent and the heart behind our prayers. And now we're going to talk about how often should we pray. And I don't think there is one exactly specific right answer on this one. But I think if we look at the life of Jesus, probably a good idea that we'll get from him on how we ought to be praying. There's actually 25 instances of Jesus praying recorded in the Gospels, and a lot of these different instances had a basis for prayer. Before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was, pleading with God. On the cross, he was praying for the people who was crucifying. Before he selected his disciples, he was praying. Before his baptism, he was praying. There was all these different events that really created a basis for prayer. And so we're going to talk through some situations that should cause us to pray, situations that should lead us and move us to prayer. First one is times of hardship. This one's probably easier than most, because in times of hardship, you're turning everywhere you can turn, typically, right? There's like a ingrained, red alert and ingrained into us that, we just kind of know typically in times of hardship. But also, I think there can be a pride in us and a way about us where we want to do things ourselves. We want to get through it ourselves. We want to do things our own ways. And usually we won't turn to God until we've exhausted all of our options. I think if we're facing any kind of hardship, maybe it could be health-related, maybe it could be financially-related, maybe it could be relational, it could be a lot of different things, but any kind of hardship that we're facing in our lives, that should move us to pray. That's something that we should be bringing before God. The next one is big decisions. Anytime we've got a big decision in life, we should always be bringing that before the Lord. It's really easy sometimes to feel like we've got things figured out. Maybe we're people who know what we want and we're pursuing what we want. But I think we have to have the humility to recognize that sometimes we don't know exactly what's best for us. Sometimes we don't know what path God really wants us to go down. And we should always be consulting with God every chance we get when it comes to big decisions in our lives. Probably small ones too. There's no decision too big or too small that we could pray to God about. But especially in the big ones, these are times that should move us to pray. The last one is moments of weakness. I mentioned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in his flesh, he didn't want to go to the cross. He said, Lord, if there's any other way. But he prayed. And God gave him the strength and the courage and the power to press on to do the will of God. Anytime in our moments of weakness, when we feel like we're going to crack, when we feel like we're going to break, we got to turn to God in those times. Because if we rely on our own strength, we're done for. It is not going to go over well for us if we're relying on our own strength in times of weakness. We must go to God in prayer in these times. Now, this is by no means, an all-inclusive list of all the times we should be praying. I think we could probably write down a million instances that could lead us to prayer. But I tried to draw a really big circle so I could capture, you know, most of those instances within these specific situations. But yeah, there's a lot more that we could pray about. There's actually another verse in the Bible that suggests how much we ought to be praying. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That is an ambitious thing to say. Pray without ever stopping. I mean, I feel like it's easy in our minds to hear that and automatically say, well, I can't do that, so why even try? I'm not going to always be praying, so I'm just going to chalk that one up as I'm going to fall short in that area. But the reality is, this is the will of God in Jesus for you, to be always in a state of prayer. And I think it shows us that God wants to always be openly communicating with us, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. Could be at the grocery store, could be at the gym, could be driving to or from work, at work. No matter where you're at, there is no place or time that you could go or be that God doesn't want to be communicating with you. That's the reality. He doesn't care so much about having your hands folded and having your head bowed or being on your knees or sitting down. Like, that posture is good, and we totally should do that when we can. But if you're in your car driving to work, you can talk to God then. You don't have to wait. He always wants to be communicating with us, and he always wants us to be communicating with him. You know, some of us might hear that, and it might sound a little bit off-putting. Like, oh, gosh, I pray all the time. Doesn't that seem a little excessive? Doesn't that seem a little overbearing? And if that's how we feel when we hear that, I think that's probably a little bit of a check engine light for our hearts and where our hearts are at with God. You see, I want us to think about all the things that we love most. Could be people, could be places, could be hobbies, could be things. Like, just take a second and think about the things in your life that you just love the most that you can't get enough of. We all have something. And when we think about these things, we're thinking about them throughout our days, you know? It's not an issue. It doesn't feel burdensome. It's just something that's on our mind because we love it. It doesn't feel like work. Why don't we feel that way about God? I think if we think about prayer and praying without ceasing as burdensome, the reality is our heart towards God and our view of God is probably skewed in some way. Because he is infinitely good. He's infinitely wonderful. Like, he's literally better than words can even describe. So the thought that we should have a hard time just praying to him throughout our days just doesn't seem quite right. But that's the reality. God loves us so much, he always wants to be communicating with us. He always wants to be talking to us. And that's what, you know, it's not about rule following. When we think about how often we pray, we shouldn't be saying, oh, I prayed, I checked the box today. It's not about box checking. It's not about rule following. It's about relationship. So how often should we pray? We should pray every chance we get. Every time we think about it, every time it comes to our mind. Because that's what it is. It's a relationship with God. It's not just a bunch of monotonous rule following. And in any healthy relationship, there's good communication. That's a key to healthy relationship, is good communication. That's what it's really about. It's good, healthy communication. And God's calling you deeper in prayer. No matter where you're at today, maybe you're a new believer, maybe you've been a believer a long time, maybe you wouldn't even classify yourself as a believer. No matter where you're at, God is calling you deeper. If you're not in relationship with him, he's calling you into relationship with him. If you're already in relationship with him, he's calling you deeper into a deeper, stronger relationship with him. So as we close things down, I just want us to be thinking about where we're at with God today. I want us to be thinking about how we feel about the idea of praying without ceasing. When we think about that, what does that stir up in us? And then from there, you know, what does that tell us about the condition of our hearts and where we stand with God? I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer, and we're going to respond in a time of worship. And I just want to say, if you'd like anybody to pray with you, pray over you, if you're going through anything, our Next Steps team will be in the back, and they would love to pray with you. They would love to spend time with you praying about anything and everything that you might be going through. Let's pray together.